Welcome back to another episode of the Catholic Buzz Podcast. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Father Daniele, and I'm joined by Josh Sullivan.
Hello.
Josh, welcome to
you. Thank you.
And Matt Van Milligan.
Hello.
Matthew, welcome.
Thank you.
You know, we've been talking a lot about all sorts of things the last couple of weeks, and we've talking about, you know, last week we talked about gender ideology, we're talking about all these different aspects, and we were kind of behind the scenes talking about the Catholic education system, where some of these things are taught to young people. Anyways, so we did a little bit of research, and it looks like that the numbers of people who are choosing alternative education, especially in the province of Ontario, are increasing at a sort of a rapid pace.
Yeah. Right?
And so we're going to talk today a little bit about private Catholic education, alternatives to Catholic to publicly funded schools, and why people are choosing them. Mm-hmm. Right. And so just to give you a little bit of stats, okay? Now, we can look at the COVID period as sort of something that really threw a knot into school in general.
We can call it the experimentation phase,
yeah,
right?
Like exactly.
We tried a lot of new things.
The Great Reset.
The Great Reset.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I like it.
So before COVID, 2.5% of kids age 5 to 18 were homeschooled in Ontario. Okay. During COVID, that number went up to 4.3%, so almost double. And then after COVID, it fell to about 3.8%. So still significantly higher than before COVID, but it did drop down a little bit. That's for homeschooling, okay? So people who are homeschooled.
And we did a whole episode on homeschooling and how to do that just not too long ago, I imagine. Remember?
That's right.
Yeah.
And the number of children in private schools in Ontario is significant as well. There are about 1,700 private and independent schools in Canada. 348,000 students across the country are in private school, with about 125,000 of those in Ontario.
Wow.
So those numbers are increasing. So people are choosing private Catholic education or independent education.
Yeah.
Those aren't numbers of
Catholic
schools.
That's just private.
Those are private schools too. So those are, you know, non-denominational schools. Some of those are Jewish schools. Some of those are Muslim schools. Some of those are Catholic. Some of those are private Christian schools as well. Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of different private schools, but you're seeing a rise in parents choosing this alternative education. So I want to first, let's go back, Matt, to like the education system in general.
Okay.
Like, so let's go all the way back. Like, where did we see the start of sort of a public realm for education?
Yeah, when we were talking about this before, we were trying to do some factor analysis here. We're like, okay, how much of this trend is, you know, actual education? How much of this is, you know, people maybe losing faith in the public education system? But I think for a lot of people, their default assumption is that, public education was the norm until people started having issue with it, or, you know, seeking kind of a higher academic, whatever, and then switching to a kind of a private model. But if you go back, you know, decades, you realize no, actually, you know, private was a lot more kind of popular, and the public system itself was kind of Catholic. You go back, you know, even much further to the start of, you know, what we now know as public education, and it was entirely initiated by the church. There was no kind of, you know, secular or civil government that was like, okay, we need to institute, you know, public education. We need to educate the masses. So, like, even the, you go back to 11th, 12th century, you have like the invention of the university, and this was an offshoot of the church itself. It was an offshoot of monasteries. It was, you know, teaching people to read, teaching people, and a lot of it was for kind of the formation of priests, for religious, for these, but many of them as part of their vocation, part of their charism, part of their mandate was to provide broader education. You have entire orders within the church whose focus was, you know, on education. You have, you know, notably you have kind of the Jesuits, the early, early part of their mandate was education. You have saints like, St. John Bosco. Mm-hmm. You have, yes. Religious orders of nuns who, you know, most of their charism is, around, educating. Again, the public education system was really, really kind of invented by the church. And then, you know, centuries later, you have kind of civil governments kind of sticking moving their hand in or kind of moving into that territory for a number of reasons.
Yeah. So it's interesting because in Ontario, before 1867, of course, there were two education systems, and one was for the Protestants, which were the majority in Ontario, and one were for the minority Catholics. Now, in Canada, the fight for education, you had the majority of Protestants before World War II, of course, in Canada, but Quebec was full of Catholics, and they were really fighting for Catholic schools.
In Canadian demographics, too, you have to realize, so the English were all Protestant, the French are all Catholics, right? And those are kind of like, so we find the Catholics in Quebec because that's a heavy French community area, and then the English is in Ontario where the heavy English were. But that crossover, those were the two, and then the other people were, of course, the First Nations. And so they were there, and at this time, wasn't yet that the government mandated every child had to be in school or anything else. And so you had Protestant schools and you had Catholic schools.
Yeah, exactly. And right into the Confederation of Canada, they recognized that they weren't going to come to a deal to confederate Canada unless the Catholics and Protestants were guaranteed their own schools, especially the minority groups, the Protestant minority in Quebec. and the Catholic minority in Ontario.
Yeah.
And so that was like right there into the Confederation of Canada, right? And so there was all these kind of things going on that were leading to this sort of public education system. Now, I want to be clear that it's not like it exists today.
No.
Like when we talk about a public education system. So basically, this Catholic education system was, it was run by the church, right? And there was little sort of oversight by government or little oversight, right? Now, there was an introduction of sort of trustees. You know, today we talk about trustees and what they what their role is today in education. There, they really ran the schools. Like, they made decisions. They decided the what money was coming in, how money was dispersed, if money was coming in.
Again, so we're going from orders of priests and men and women that were coming in and doing this freely, right? I mean, they lived as a community and everything else, but they went and they would put on these things. And so as the government starts to fund, like, they realize that the education is a good thing. And so they start to fund. You did have to pay for education at one point too still, but they realized it was a good thing. The money coming in, whether it be from government or whether it be from tuition, it then needed to be managed. And so it wasn't the church's responsibility at that time. They could manage a couple of the bills and everything else, but that wasn't where they wanted to be. They wanted to be in the classrooms. And so they started to elect these trustees specifically to manage where that money went. Like, did it go for school books? Did it go to purchasing a yard? Did it go to building desks or whatever?
And before the 1960s, there was over 3,000 school boards in Ontario. Yeah, that's crazy. Because in the late 1960s, that number was reduced dramatically to 170.
Yeah.
So think of that number, 3,000 to 170.
Yeah.
Those were run by trustees with wards and all these things, right? Now, remember, like, even today, you have to allot sort of your property tax to the Catholic system or the public system. Yeah. Well, in Ontario, this was how these schools were funded, right? So there was a sort of a bigger push for, oh, you got to make sure your taxes go to the Catholic schools or your taxes go to the public system. And in 1998, in Ontario, there was sweeping changes to how the education system worked with the Mike Harris government.
Yes.
So Mike Harris came along, kind of a tumultuous time, right? And, like, did a very big change in how schools functioned in Ontario. Because before, these taxes were funding the local school boards, right? And municipalities sometimes had to kick in some money. And then you saw there was an imbalance across. So richer areas or areas with more students had better schools, whatever. So Mike Harris came along and his government did sweeping changes to the way that schools function. So basically, all funding comes from the provincial government. And they went to a system where you would get paid, the schools would be funded per student.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people remember back in 1998, there was like lots of protests, lots of strikes.
Yeah, there was a strike. I had the, my dad was a teacher at the time, and we had the famous take your kid to work day that was scheduled during the strike. And so we were encouraged, as the teachers are striking, you should still, you know, go to your parents' work. So I got to go on the strike line with my dad as he was striking. It was fun. It was an interesting experience.
Yeah, it was such a big change that people were unsure of, like, if this was the right thing. People still talk about the Harris government as sort of this, sort of maybe ruining the way schools function, right? Mm. Some people still refer to that. Well,
and I think in North Bay, especially where we're from, because this is where he was from.
So. Yeah, he was the local representative here. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Okay, so that's where we get the model we have today, right? So provincial funding comes, schools get their money from provincial funding on a per student sort of basis.
Okay.
Why I say that, because I didn't want to jump to 1998 all of a sudden, why I say that, because sometimes we think that when Catholic schools received public funding, it was then that they weren't allowed to teach Catholic teachings.
They were subject to a public mandate.
Exactly. Yeah. And you hear that a lot, right? Mm-hmm. In fact, people in the education system say that, well, we're a publicly funded Catholic school. In fact, this is sort of the jargon that they use now, school boards use, and like the teachers' unions use. They say, well, we're publicly funded Catholic schools. Yeah. That's what they say.
As a justification for distancing themselves from an obligation to
teach Catholic.
Catholic as the primary descriptor of the education rather than just
And that's not the case. I want that to be clear, that like that's not the reason that Catholic schools are not upholding the Catholic faith, even though that's the excuse that they sort of use, right? Because Catholic schools were always sort of given the green light to teach the Catholic faith within their schools. And I want to go back to in the mid-1980s, 1985, because up until that point, Catholic schools were only funded before the 80s, Catholic schools were only funded up until grade 8.
Then
the Catholics were like, hey, come on, how come we can't get more funding? And the governments at the time was kind of like, okay, well, we'll fund grade 9 and grade 10 sort of as a continuation of the elementary system. But grade 11 and 12, 13, you had to pay for. You had to pay for. So there was, I know, people who are sort of fundraising or would switch schools to the public system, all these different things, right?
Yeah.
In 1985, they sort of made this deal that they would start to cover the costs of grade 11, 12, and 13.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened in the 80s for Catholic schools. But it wasn't until the deal that Mike Harris struck in 1998 that Catholic schools received full funding. I don't think people understand. People know that. Catholic schools received full funding only in 1998 with the sweeping change of the Mike Harris government. And, of course, during that sweeping change, Mike Harris' government got rid of grade 13, right? So with the start of this new model of high school.
So for like about 13 years there is what you're saying is roughly 13 years, that grade 11, grade 12, and OAC, grade 13 at that time, those weren't necessarily – the tuition wasn't covered. They had to pay tuition or they had to fundraise or the church would kick in a little bit of money or just to get those.
So after the mid-80s, the government did fund those grades.
Oh,
you didn't have to pay tuition anymore.
Okay, yeah.
But schools were still not fully funded like the public system, right?
Gotcha.
And it wasn't until the 1998 change that they became fully funded, right? So why I mention all this, if people at home are so confused by my ramblings, is there seems to be this idea, right, that the Catholic teachings went away when we accepted public government money. But I want people to understand sort of what's was sort of going on at the time, mm-hmm. right? At the time of 1998, when Mike Harris made these sweeping changes, Ontario obviously was a different place than it was when Catholic schools mm-hmm. were formed, you know, 100 yeah. years ago, 200 years ago, whatever it might
Being
be.
Being run by nuns and whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. They were different places, right? Also, as a church, we were sort of post-Vatican II. The 1980s and the 1990s were kind of a special time in the life of the church. Right, where we were still trying to figure out some of the fallout of Vatican II. You also saw a decline in the number of Catholics attending church. You saw a decline in the number of Catholics who were practicing the Catholic faith, which translated over to the Catholic schools, mm-hmm. right? So if we, you know, when I was a kid, like a little boy, and I had a nun teaching me in kindergarten, obviously, that was by the time I was in grade 8 or 9, but by that time I was in a public system, it would be a different situation. The nuns mm-hmm. weren't as prevalent in the schools, if the number of Catholics were declining. So all this contributed to sort of the decline of Catholic thought or Catholic mm-hmm. teaching within the Catholic system, right? We saw that kind of come to head like in the late 2000s when this idea of the gay straight alliance started coming out in the province of Ontario.
Yeah.
And Catholics were like, well, we can't have that in Catholic schools. And then, you know, people were like, well, of course we have to have it in Catholic schools. And there was this big sort of, back do you remember forth. That back yeah. and forth backlash? And that was sort of like one of the big moments where it's like, yeah, Catholic system are Catholic in name only, and people said, well, we're publicly funded. We've accepted the fact that we're just publicly funded systems, even though we're guaranteed by the Education Act mm-hmm. to be able to teach the Catholic faith in its entirety in our Catholic schools, mm-hmm. right? That's just not happening. There's a change in society that's sort of warranted that. So all that sort of to say, right, is that now we have parents who are being a little more and more disappointed with what's happening in the Catholic school system and even the public school system. We're not just talking Catholic schools, yeah. right?
I think one of the things that really important to note here, because this is something that in the Catholic school system, I have two boys that are in the high school, and I have two more on the way. You know, they're in grade 5 and 7 now. But they're going to be on the way to high school. And so one of the things like is, and we're very close with my kids. And so they talk to us, oh, this is what I'm learning in class. So, you know, we ask those conversations and have all those things as parents do. And sometimes when they bring something up, so there was a recent situation that's, you know, one of my sons brought up. And the very first thing I was like, well, that's not Catholic teaching. That's not something that you should be learning in a Catholic school. And like my first instinct is to go and, you know, accuse the teacher and then accuse the principal and then to go. But by going back and looking at the curriculum first, which is what I did, I realized the curriculum says that you have to teach these things and you have to teach it this way. And so the publicly funded part is becoming part of it. Like they're teaching things that aren't necessarily Catholic Catholic teaching or even against the Catholic mm-hmm. faith. It's worded in a way it's not against the faith. I'm going to say that. But it is worded in a way that it makes it easier to just do as the world would say instead of the Catholic, you know. Even things like if we talked about, and we've talked many times about the show, about contraception. This was something that came out in the 90s. I remember this being a big argument in like the early 2000s and stuff. Do we have to teach contraception in class? And the Catholic school system is like parents are saying, no, you shouldn't be teaching contraception. You should be teaching what the Catholic Church teaches and not condoms and the pill and all that kind of stuff. And then the school mandates that, okay, no, you have to teach this now. And, you know, and it's in the curriculum and it's all that kind of stuff. So now you have to teach it, but you can teach all those things through a Catholic lens.
Yeah.
The problem is that the people we have teaching it aren't necessarily through that Catholic lens. They yeah. don't, and whether it be fault of their own or not, I would say it's the fault of the school board in the sense that they're not putting the proper people to teach it through the Catholic lens. Yeah. You know what I mean? You have teachers that don't care about the Catholic faith teaching about these very controversial Catholic topics. Yeah. And it's easier for them just to follow the curriculum as per the word of the curriculum instead of changing it to, through a Catholic lens.
I think Catholic lens is yeah. the thing that, or like if we're trying to do factor analysis yeah. here, like we can track the historical progression. You can see, okay, well, you have kind of especially kind of post Vatican II, you have fewer and fewer people entering religious life with a dedicated vocation towards, Catholic education, things like, but like going back to, why was the university started in the first place? Why was public education started? What is the proper end of education from the perspective of Catholic anthropology? Like what, yeah. why yeah. educate in the first place? Your answer to that kind of has to be to evangelize. That yeah. is like education isn't an end in itself. So when we're talking about kind of what the goals and methods are of, publicly funded education now, it kind of is. Like you have, or like even to ask that question, a lot of people, like even myself coming up in like public education, not even Catholic public, like, why did you go to school? I'm like, okay, well, because your parents told you to. Like there's kind of this, yeah. You could have like an extreme libertarian interpretation. It's like, well, it's just training people to be wards of the state. Like it's yeah, just yeah, like yeah, this, yeah. this is,
to work in the factories,
they're just conditioning
or whatever,
you to
yeah.
Be dependent on kind of government systems. Or like on the other end, it's like, okay, well, it's just vocational training. You know, this is preparing you for a job. Yeah. It's like, well, that really doesn't, and again, if we want to go kind of deep into like what is Catholic education and what is kind of appealing for a lot of people who are now turning to private Catholic schools, a lot of it is like, and again, I say this from someone who, I studied classics, I studied yeah. great books, I come at education and pedagogy with, a liberal arts perspective. Like, yeah. what is the purpose of education? Christ is the logos. There's no divide between kind of reason and faith. There's no meaningful That's divide. Right. So like our pursuit of knowledge, our pursuit of education should always be oriented towards our faith and upbuilding yeah. our faith and communicating our faith to the world. You can look at kind of a factor. It's like, okay, we're so far removed from that in what's calling itself the Catholic system. You have a lot of people turning away from that and, okay, let's reclaim the actual Catholic intellectual tradition. Let's reclaim this kind of liberal arts approach to education where, we're not just in class because, we want to be an engineer someday. Like that might be an accidental outcome or an unintentional, an intentional outcome, but that's not really the purpose or that yeah. at its heart, that's not what education is meant to do.
You know, what I found really interesting is when we were talking about schools, because at the time, Catholics in Ontario really increased after World War II when Europeans started moving here and all those things. Before, it was majority Protestant. But the reason Catholics wanted their own schools to begin with, years before, mm-hmm. was to make sure that their kids were learning from the Catholic perspective. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They didn't want their kids going to Protestant schools and learning sort of teachings that weren't Catholic. And in maybe a non-humorous way, we've come back to that now because the purpose that parents have in their own mind of removing their kids from a publicly funded school is that their kids are learning from the Catholic perspective mm-hmm. or yeah. from a perspective that's not sort of what some might say indoctrination or yes, all these yeah, different yeah. things that are going on in the public system. I do want to add that during the reforms of Mike Harris, he did make he planned, I think, extra $2 million to make sure that the Catholic system could come up with their own Catholic curriculum and their distinct Catholic courses. That was in 1998 because we were talking about curriculum and all that stuff, right? Yeah. I don't know if that went anywhere, but
that's what I was. When you said that, I was like, "Oh, yeah. where did that money go?"
So now we have parents who want their kids learning from, maybe from the Catholic perspective, from another perspective, if they're going to independent schools or whatever it is. But nonetheless, they're choosing private schools. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing that rise here. Now, the pros of going to private school, obviously, you have smaller class sizes, mm-hmm. You have sort of your parents watch over what's being taught.
They don't have to teach the curriculum that comes out from the government. So you right. you have to prove that you are teaching a curriculum, that you have some sort, but you don't have to prove to the government that you're teaching their public funded curriculum. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so when you're teaching health and gym, you can teach
through a Catholic perspective, those may be things that you might want to teach. Or you can decide that, like, for instance, you don't have to teach in grade 3 and 4 about sex education. You can leave that till maybe grade 6, 7, 8, whatever you would feel is appropriate in a private school, let's say. You don't have to teach about gender identity and those types of things at grade 2 or grade 3. Like, that's something that can be left for a high school discussion. You know what I mean? So there are ways that we don't have to follow what... You mean, okay, you also don't have to teach math if you don't want to in a private school. So, like, I mean, there's good and bad.
Yeah.
But there are things like there are the parents, and I'm going to say the people in charge of the school, for lack of a better word, the trustees or the people that are making the decisions to run the school itself as a private school can make those discerned decisions instead of going back to, like, who's making the decisions now, what's being taught in school. And it's the government and somebody somewhere. Like, I really do want to know who created the curriculum. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And the problem exists everywhere.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Like, so you might have the curriculum, but a teacher kind of puts their spin on it or goes off sort of the script, so to say, and teaches their students whatever aligns with their own thought. I mean, it's not just a problem with teachers, you know,
no.
Like priests. Some priests do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They go off and say stuff that's not, correct or whatever. Other places do it as well. But it seems that parents are running into that problem a little, like, more and more at schools today.
We brought it up already, so I just want to hit on it. As you were saying, I thought, oh, wow, that kind of makes sense. Because Vatican II is one of those kind of changing moments. But one of the things we know about Vatican II, because we've talked a lot about it on the show before, but at Vatican II, a lot of things were decided. In fact, if you go back and look at the documents of Vatican II, I think most priests and most bishops that were there, cardinals that were there and everything, voted on all these things, signed it. So we know that whatever was said in Vatican II was probably pretty solid. What came out of Vatican II now, we understand, are pretty solid. But what happened was the bishops and priests that came out of Vatican II and didn't get what they wanted because they wanted to see progressive changes and this, that, or the other thing, came back and decided to change things anyways. And so we had people coming back from Vatican II and teaching ways, well, the church changed now from Vatican II, and you're just going to have to trust me on this because you weren't there, and then started teaching. And so what happened, I think one of the falls in Catholic society for that reason was after Vatican II, you had some religious authorities saying one thing or through a different lens than what you had other religious authorities saying. And so, well, this priest was saying this thing, but this priest was saying that one, or this bishop was saying this, and this bishop was saying the other. And then you have the nuns that are teaching the schools and the priests that are teaching the schools, and they're all at very specific, like, it seems like everybody's on a different page when it comes to what the Catholic Church
created
is teaching.
Created confusion.
Yeah. And so I think you had a lot of people be like, okay, the Catholic Church doesn't know what it's teaching. You know what I mean? So I'm out of here. And that's where you started seeing, like, in the 70s and the 80s, people start to drop off the map a little bit when it comes to their Catholic faith.
You know, there's a problem when, like, people are paying, the average of tuition for private schools is anywhere from $6,000 to $12,000per child, right? Of course, some private schools, like if you have two kids,
You get a little discount,
three kids, a little discount, whatever it might be, right? And there's always, some schools have like a way of like trying to reduce your tuition a little bit, whether through funding, fundraising,
or
parents are involved in the school, volunteering us somehow, so your cost comes down a bit. But you know that there's a problem when parents would rather save thousands and thousands of dollars to send their kids to a private institution rather than take the free education that's available to them.
Yeah, I was going to, because you were talking about kind of pros and cons, and you can, like, the way we're kind of framing private school, it's probably like mostly pros, or like what we're saying is like one of the cons that we talked about in our homeschooling episode actually was that if we're taking, like, because you talk about like our well formed Catholic students, if we're taking them out of the publicly funded system, they're not impacting that system, they're not evangelizing it. So that's maybe kind of one of the cons. The other one that kind of appears to be a con is the cost. Families are spending
thousands.
Yeah, a lot, and really have to, you know, make this a priority, a financial priority, and sometimes probably to the exclusion of a lot of other kind of amenities and benefits or that they would spend that money on. But at some level, it kind of improves It's a con in that it's expensive, but it's a pro in that you're kind of putting your money where your mouth is. And you have a collection of students that are investing heavily in being there, or at least their families are investing heavily in them being there. You and I are teachers. So, there's a big difference in teaching a class that wants to be there, or that is invested in what they're getting out of that education, than ones that are just there because their parents are paying their their way. They're there for other reasons. There is a real kind of value that, you know, that this is a mutual investment by a community in a lot of cases to, you know, really recognize at the family level, at the parish level, at the education level, that this is worth investing in, that this, mm-hmm. like a quality education. When you have a free option available, you say like, you know, the free option is so far gone that we're actually going to sacrifice a lot of, you know, other things that we could spend this money on because our children's education is that important.
If you think about it too, just thinking in the light of actual financials, at the universities and colleges and universities right now are saying, well, we can't, like in Ontario, we got the whole, and I'm going to say in Canada in whole, talking about international students and that they're limiting the amount of international students. So the conversation has come up that colleges and universities across Ontario, anyways, cannot keep functioning the way they're functioning if they can't raise tuitions past a certain point because the students aren't paying for what's going on at the college or university level. And now, I believe that to be true. I don't think it's just a money grab. I think it's a real truth, being in the college system myself. But what you realize then is, like, students are paying close to $10,000 a year for tuition. If that's not enough to run a college or university, how is that enough to run a private Catholic school? Now, take it. You're going to be dropping a lot of the administration. You're going to be dropping a lot of that. And one of the biggest things that you're going to drop is you're not paying for a professor's professor's salary. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the times people that you have teaching at these private schools are taking a much lower hit in what their salary could be. I mean, if you're a teacher teaching in the public school system, you're going to be making anywhere from, you know, probably start off at around 50, I think it is, and then you work your way up to almost $100,000 a year, you know, after your 10 years and all your steps. But if you're teaching in the private, you're probably making about anywhere from 30 to 45,000. Like, that's almost below the poverty line now, and you don't necessarily get a pay raise. You know what I mean? Like, there's no going up with that. That's because it's private. It's a private company, if you will.
Yeah, and there's also not as much property, buildings, maintenance to take care of as like a college or university, as opposed to like a small private school, right? Yeah. But I think what this shows me anyways with this increase in this desire for private education is I really respect parents who are making that decision because, number one, they're making a sacrifice financially, which is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. Number two, they're really showing that they care about what their kids are learning.
Yeah, for sure.
And how they're forming their kids. The Catholic Church teaches that parents are the first educators of their children.
Yes.
Right? And sometimes we just send our kids off to school and we just hope for the best.
Yep.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even know what our kids are learning because, you know, families aren't sort of eating dinner together. They're not seeing each other at night. You know, parents are working, all these things, people on their phones, kids are in their room, all this stuff. You know, so I really respect parents who keep their kids in the publicly funded system, who are keeping an eye on what their kids are learning, having conversations about all that stuff. Do you guys think that this is going to be a continuing trend moving towards private education?
I hope so, but I feel like in order for it to succeed long term, it needs to be part of a broader kind of faith. I don't want to say revolution or movement, but it's just like the idea that, like, at its height, or like, again, if we're reclaiming that authentic Catholic education and we want to develop a school around this Catholic anthropology, around kind of Catholic lens, that, you know, I would love to see a return of vocations, of orders, of nuns and priests that are, you know, that the thing that they are giving themselves to is Catholic education. You know, what would our private Catholic schools look like if it weren't just kind of, you know, a small community of people operating on, you know, a shoestring budget, just trying to keep, you know, the lights on. What if, you know, you actually you're involved with the parish, that you have, you know, nuns teaching these kids, and that it's not just, you know, we're trying to say, again, it's not just we're pulling our kids out of a system that we think is bad. It's actually we're creating something that's good and something that serves the whole church, and not just, you know, again, the short-term goals of education, which are important, but kind of the long-term, you know, the full holistic picture of, you know, evangelization. That's what education is mm-hmm. for. That's what the church is for. And these can work together.
I think from a public point of view that it can definitely work. And I think part of the thing that I think that the Catholic schools, the publicly funded Catholic schools could have enforced at one time is Catholic morality. And that's something like I know that when I went to school in the 90s, a lot of my Protestant friends were going to the Catholic schools because they couldn't enforce any kind of morality. And so in doing so, they were able to. So I think the Catholic schools, even private Catholic schools now, if you can show that you get good good education at a private Catholic school, and then they come out knowing more, and that those are the people going, you know, to higher education and all that kind of stuff, but also that they're coming out with a sense of morality, they're coming out a sense, those are things that aren't necessarily taught to the fullest extent that they could be at a school net level now, because you're dealing, and again, with the teachers and everything else, you're dealing with 30 students all from different walks of life, and you're dealing with Johnny, who's basically just spitting on everyone and trying to, and you're not really focusing on the top end students all the time. But if your class is focused on morality and all that kind of stuff, you can show in the private school system, you can grow where your students are most able to, if that makes sense, and kind of grow that into I think you're gonna get a really good strong Catholic school going, or private school in any sense. You're gonna find that it's probably gonna overcome the public system. It's gonna be the posh place to be in,
and academically stronger as well. If you maintain a good baseline of discipline, you're actually able to cover way more curriculum.
Exactly.
Than,
yeah. And so, instead of now, where like every Friday is a day off for some sort of event of some sorts or whatever the case may be. Now it's this day, and now it's that day, and now it's this day. So okay,
what a beautiful thing if like the entire Catholic community came together to support something like that, like you said, creating something good. You know, everyone kind of helps, everyone contributes. We build up a strong academic and strong moral formation of our young people. I think that would be a really beautiful thing. But we're out of time, so I got to cut us off here. But if anyone wants to add anything to our conversation, you can drop us a comment or email us at askus@thecatholicbuzz.com. And we might continue this conversation if you drop us a line about this. Okay, so for Josh Sullivan and Matt Van Milligan, my name is Father Daniele. We'll see you next time on The Catholic Buzz.